Welcome to the study. We're up to Romans 12, 1. Made it through 9, 10, and 11. And a little different emphasis here. What would you call it? A throughput emphasis. It's the therefore, you know, because of Romans 1 through 5 and 6 through 8 and Romans 9 through 11. Because of all that, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So, before we get into the study of it, let's look at where we are in Romans and why we're here and things like that. We've been going through Romans, and we saw in Romans 16, verses 25 and 26, that Paul says how God stabilizes us. It's by faith in the gospel of the grace of God, at the time, the gospel of Christ. Same gospel message, different audience, expanded audience, put it that way. But the gospel, that's the opener. And the gospel is not all there is to being established, being stabilized. He goes on to say, talk about the knowledge of the truth. To be saved, yes, but come to the knowledge of the truth of the Holy Spirit in the inner man, and by knowledge of the believer's position today, thirdly, as separate from Israel, seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And he goes on, Paul goes on to tell us what that stabilized believer's life is like, what it looks like, what our decisions are like, things like that. And this is what we'll study today. I'll start to study, I should say. Paul tells us that we are established by my gospel, firstly, and secondly, by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, not according to prophecy, but according to the revealed secret, the revelation of the mystery. And thirdly, by the scriptures of the prophets. We just completed that about the prophets and the Lord prophesying that he would send Gentiles to provoke certain Gentiles to provoke Israel to jealousy and so forth. Okay, so my gospel, the establisher, first establisher, was what we studied in Romans 1, verse 15, through Romans 5, verse 11, and how anyone can be saved, justified, and quickened. And from Romans 5:12 through Romans 8:39, we studied being stabilized or established by the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. The fact that there's a body of Christ, the fact that we as believers are imputed the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Christ. It includes the living by the righteousness of Christ being imputed to the account of the believer today. Then in the last few studies, we've been studying how Christ's revelation to Paul relates to the scriptures of the prophets. Paul tells what happened to Israel and how Israel is not in the picture right now, but that they will be the head of the nations in the future after today's body of Christ is caught up to be forever with the Lord. And Paul goes into all that about the scriptures of the prophets in Romans 9, 10, and 11. The end of chapter 11 completes what Paul writes about how to be established. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and to establish you according to the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and to establish you, as is what it's saying, by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Made known to all nations. How about that? That's Paul giving us a hint that he's received apostleship to all nations by then. He hasn't actually been sent until Acts 20, verse 6, but he is talking about it here at Acts 20, verse 3. He knows about it. He was there in that temple vision in Acts 18, so he's aware of it, and he's telling them that he's going to, you know, preach to all nations. Made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Romans 12:1. I beseech you, therefore, because of all that, brethren, by the mercies of God. And that's the only way to be able to do it. What by what God is doing in us, by His mercy and grace in saved people, as well as in those who are not saved, He's being gracious. They need to believe in order to have the work of God done in them for salvation by God, and that imputing of His righteousness to our account in daily living. But in living, we need the mercies of God too. We need to live by those mercies of God. Look at Colossians 2, verse 6. Colossians 2, 6. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. In the same way, and because of that, I guess you could say too, as you have received Him, so walk ye in Him. Okay, let's go on in the verse, the first verse of Romans. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So it is reasonable. It's not required for salvation, but it's reasonable for being stabilized, for being established. It's in line with what you have received. We are not under the law. It's not a law that we have to do. It's something that you can enjoy giving. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. It's something you can do, having understood what a great sacrifice Christ made for you and for me on the cross. The verse says to present your body. Present your bodies. And you know what a present is. At this selected time, you give it. You bestow something. In this case, present your bodies a living sacrifice. The first time that you realized that, having now received God's grace, you can now free up the exercise of God's resurrection power in your life by starting a life of yielding your members as instruments of righteousness. That goes right back to Romans 6:7-8. So we, in chapter 12, he's building on that. That start, that beginning of yielding to the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, is what Paul means by present your bodies a living sacrifice. So Paul is beseeching you, begging you as a saved person, therefore, because of all he has shown us in the My Gospel, first quarter of Romans, and because of all he has shown us in preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery in the second quarter of Romans, and because of realizing that Christ's doctrine revealed to Paul is for us now, since we realize by the scriptures and the prophets that Israel's doctrine is out of the picture now. Because of all this, That Paul just finished teaching, present your bodies a living sacrifice. In other words, put into practice all that we've learned from Paul in Romans 1 through Romans 11. It's something that is a step in the beginning of your walk with the Lord. It's not something to keep repeating. You should keep repeating the yielding of your members as instruments of righteousness, but you shouldn't have to keep repeating the start of your yielding. You shouldn't have to keep repeating the presenting of your body as a living, yielded sacrifice. If you go back on presenting your body, then you need to realize that God still looks for your yielding. You've done it once. You have given your body to God as a living sacrifice. And if you went back on it, then you need to realize God is faithful. He's still waiting for you to go on yielding to Him. Realizing the equipping, receiving the equipping of the Holy Spirit, which already resides in you. And then you go on. That's the first part. We yield our bodies to God. That's one thing. And the next thing is to yield your mind. Look at the next two verses, Romans 12, verses 2 and 3. We see Romans 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. The battle for the yielding of your body starts with the yielding of your mind. Romans 12:2 starts out with, be not conformed to this world, and there's a big clue of how to go about living. If you're following trends, fads, crazes, and widely accepted mores, then in those areas you're following the world, following the flesh. You're limiting your ability to follow Christ. But instead, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. What is the will of God? Do we have any indication what the will of God is? Well, the will of God is clear in 1 Timothy 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved. That's the first part of God's will. Can't get past that without being saved. And then, to come unto the knowledge of the truth. God's will is two things, for all people to be saved, and then for all people, all saved people, to come to the knowledge of the truth. The first is to be saved. And that's clearly described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. If you can't yet point to God's documentation in writing that you are saved, those verses tell you clearly that this is the gospel, and that this gospel saves you if you believe it. If you believe it to save you from your condemned condition, the gospel being that by believing on Christ to have died your death for all your sins, died for your sins, and risen again the third day, and it was for your justification, God saves you from His wrath. God's will is two things, to be saved and then to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's the second part, coming to the knowledge of the truth. And that's why we are eager to spend this time studying God's Word and fellowshipping in the room here. But that's what we're doing here. We're allowing God's Word to work in our lives, to get into our minds. We're studying the Bible itself, God's words and His works. He works in our lives through His scriptures, as we saw in the close of the previous lesson. The scripture renews your mind. And here's something that we'll see. It goes along with allowing God's word to work in your lives. There are four things that come along with letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Look in Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another. You speak to people when you admonish them. That speaking, in fact, it's in the form of teaching. And then Paul goes on after talking about teaching and admonishing. He says in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. So they're speaking and then they're singing. Now we have those two. Look at, further in the next verse, verse 17. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father, and the Father by Him. So giving thanks is a third item in that order. Speaking, singing, and giving thanks. And finally, we have in verse 18, Colossians 3:18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Well, do you see those four things that follow in the life of someone letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly? Look in the verses there, following the words, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. See, teaching and admonishing one another, then speaking, then following speaking, we see singing and giving thanks and submitting. So following, like we're saying, seeing here, following the, letting the word of Christ, the scriptures, the epistles of Paul in particular, for our sake, in our situation, in our position as Gentiles, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, speaking, singing, giving thanks, and submitting. Okay, hold that. Hold Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 to 18, and look in Ephesians 5, verses 18 to 22. Ephesians 5, 18. And we're going to see that those four things, those four things follow being filled with the Spirit. Look at the complete thought, the complete sentence, Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19, speaking, there's the speaking again, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing, speaking and singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Verse 20, giving thanks. That's speaking, singing, and giving thanks always for all things unto God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I think you can see where this is going. Verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. So in both of these references, you have these four things: speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting, in that order. And what do speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting follow? They follow being filled with the Spirit, and they follow letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's why we study the Bible, because letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly leads to speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting, according to Colossians 3, and according to Ephesians 5, speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting also lead to being filled with the Holy Spirit. So if both letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly and being filled with the Holy Spirit, if they both lead to speaking, singing, thanking, and submitting, then they both must be either the same or else inseparable. Being filled with God's word is being filled with the Spirit. That's why Paul says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you look again at what it says, it's talking about faith coming by hearing. And faith is the fruit, is part of the fruit of the Spirit. So as you study the word, the scriptures, the Holy Spirit fills you and grows his fruit in you. Faith, along with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, and the whole list. They're all part of the package that the Holy Spirit produces in the believer, the saved believer, as we honestly study his word and get more of what his word is saying, instead of trying to find verses that match what we already think and then convince ourselves that God told that to us. Well, let's go on to verse 3. Romans 12:3, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think more highly than he ought to think." I missed something in there. Not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's talking about faith again. Who can have faith? Who has the ability to choose to trust in the gospel of salvation? Well, first of all, God is fair. God is just in justifying believers. Romans 3:26, "To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus." So God remains just when he justifies a person. It would not be just if God gave some people the ability to have faith in the gospel while he withheld from others the ability to have faith in the gospel. Let's turn to a couple verses in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Starting in verse 11, "And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie." And that goes on to say why. It's not unfairly. It's in fairness and justice. "That they all might be damned who believed not the truth." They had the choice. They chose not to believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And since God insists on remaining just in saving those who believe, and he does remain just in damning those who believe not the truth, then all people have the opportunity to choose to believe or not to believe, or else God would not remain just and fair. So we know that in order for God to remain just in condemning all who believed not the truth, God would have to make it possible for all to believe. If you have a question, I'll go back, or you can re-enter it after we finish the lesson, and I'll be glad to handle the questions. So everybody has some faith to start with. The measure of faith, it says. We all have faith in something, whether it's in the chair in which we sit, or faith in ourselves to be good enough to get to heaven, or faith to let go of our own attempts to be righteous and totally trust Christ to have died for all our sins on the cross. We all start with some faith, some ability to exercise faith. God increases our faith, and we receive, well, as we do the studying of God's Word, as we ingest His Scriptures, take it in, receive it, make it part of us, so we're filled with the Holy Spirit as believers. So we're about to close here, but we need to yield our thoughts to God. We need to, by faith, as it says, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. You're already, it's like if you have to, I was going to say take a journey, but let's say you're going to hit a home run, but no, you're not hitting a home run. I'm trying to think of an analogy here. You start on second base instead of starting at home plate. You get an easier chance to get home. You have a measure of faith. Build on that, in other words. Okay, I'm done for tonight, except for answering questions. What were some of the questions coming up in text?